purpose of recording is for the Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi teleconference with respectability, scheduled for Wednesday, August 27th, 2014, at 1 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as the procedure follows if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi. Ma'am, you may begin.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. As you heard, this is Jennifer Laszlo Mizrahi, President of Respectability. We are delighted today that we're kicking off a new campaign that we're calling Respect the Ability. Respectability has joined with a second nonprofit called Positive Exposure, and together we're working to change how people see disabilities, and we're really working to help change the focus on how hiring people with disabilities can make organizations stronger and more successful. The campaign, Respect the Ability, highlights the benefits to employers that look beyond the disability and imagine the possibility when hiring talented employees with disabilities. We're so delighted that our first speaker, who's kicking this off for us, is Lori Golden, Ability Strategy Leader from Ernst & Young. Before I formally introduce her, I just want to talk just a few more moments about this campaign. Our goal is to educate and inform employers of the benefits of hiring employees with disabilities. And because of that, we're starting with EY. EY hires the best talent out there, no matter what the package the talent comes in. Their only focus is on their business and what prospective employees can bring to the table to better the organization. And it's time for other employers to look beyond the disabilities and understand the true value of these employees. EY has focused on the benefits of a diverse staff since its beginning. Founding partner Arthur Young was deaf with low vision, and by example, he instilled in the organization the notion that talented, differently abled employees can bring a multitude of benefits to the workplace. In our campaign, which is now on our website, www.respectabilityusa.org, you'll see some beautiful photography that was done by Positive Exposure's leader, Rick Diodati. He's really captured the new campaign with photos that link real-life images and people with the facts. His motto in this work is, change how you see. See how you change. I invite everyone who is on this call to please go to our website and look at the new blogs that we've posted there, and to please use those blogs in your own social media outreach. There's a terrific one on EY, but it doesn't stop there. There's many different ones that you can use, and I invite you to use them all. Now, our guest speaker today, as I mentioned, is Lori Golden. She is Ernst & Young's Ability Strategy Leader, driving efforts to build an enabling and inclusive work environment for people of all abilities. She consults on accommodations and career development issues for EY people working with differing abilities and advises the firm's Accessibility's Professional Resource Network, which includes several hundred people from across the organization's geographies, ranks, and functional groups, and the Abilities Champions Networks of leaders who advocate for abilities inclusiveness within their respective geographical and functional groups. Lori has given us a wonderful PowerPoint in advance. Each of you should have gotten a copy of that PowerPoint in your confirmation. So if you can pull now the information that you got from the confirmation email and take a look at that that PowerPoint. Additionally, if it's more comfortable for you to follow with live captions, if you go to our Facebook site or Twitter, you can see the information about how to log in to closed captions. Additionally, it was in the confirmation email. As I said, Lori leads the initiatives to enhance ergonomics and accessibility in Ernst & Young offices, communications, meetings, trainings, and technology, and to educate Ernst & Young people on the abilities-related issues. She's also a member of the U.S. Department of Labor's Circle of Champions and serves on the board of directors of the U.S. Business Leadership Network. Their big conference is coming up next month in Florida, and she's the chairman of the program on that. She's really exceptionally bright. She's been with Ernst & Young for 15 years, and she's a graduate of Harvard University. Lori Golden, it is a real honor and pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jennifer. That's a lot to live up to. I'm not sure to share what I can. I want to thank you, Jennifer, for the tremendous work that you and Respectability are doing, not only to raise awareness around this issue and to draw a real focus on employment, but to change concepts and to change mindset. And the work that you're doing with this campaign to reframe people's thinking around disability is really groundbreaking, and it really speaks to me because we've taken a journey at Ernst & Young as well. We started out our efforts about 6 or 7 years ago with a project to look at whether people with disabilities might be an under-leveraged talent pool for particular kinds of jobs within Ernst & Young. And we very quickly found that we were hiring people of diverse abilities in all kinds of positions at all kinds of ranks. And whereas when we began 6 years ago, we called our effort supporting people with disabilities, we have morphed over time and evolved our thinking to what you see in the title page here. We now focus on what we call diverse abilities. So rather than looking at supporting a group of people with disabilities, our broad focus is on how we can build a workplace where people of all abilities can do their best work and where we can leverage their innate differences to produce exceptional business results. And that's, of course, what should drive business. Getting the best talent and then enabling that best talent to do their best work and leveraging the different perspectives and abilities and backgrounds that they bring to get even better business results. So I'm going to go, if you're following along with me, to the first slide, which shows a billboard that we put up in Times Square, which is the headquarters for our New York. The headquarters for our America's firm is in New York, in Times Square. Last year, we introduced a new global business strategy. And in order to introduce that within our firm and to the marketplace, we commissioned some billboards. And the very second billboard that we produced was around diverse abilities. The notion that, and this, as Jennifer mentioned, comes really naturally to us because we were founded by somebody who had low vision and who was deaf, who was not able to practice effectively in his chosen profession of law, given his disabilities, and so struck out into a newly emerging profession, accounting, and not only became an entrepreneur in order to more effectively leverage his talents in the way he wanted to, but became a real innovator in the field. So from the start, our firm not only began to enable people with differing abilities to leverage their talents, but we saw the innovation that could bring to bear. So we come to this very naturally, and now I'm on slide 2, or page 2. And I just want to kind of share with you today a few things. One is our overall approach. Two, some of the tools and resources we've developed that we found helpful, and by the way, we make nearly all of our tools and resources available to the general marketplace because we want to share what we've learned and what we've built with others so we can all get smarter around this. And then finally, I want to come back to some of the key lessons we've learned and some of the key takeaways. So just to begin, we found that there are kind of four pillars to leveraging the impact of diverse abilities in an organization. The first is to simply recruit the best, to focus on the skills, the experiences, and the talent, regardless of, as Jennifer said, how that talent is packaged. The second, it sounds obvious, but it's a little bit more complex than it may first appear, and that's having a very strong commitment to providing the tools, the resources, and the physical environment that it takes not just to do a job, but to really excel in it. We look for our people not to be able to perform. We look for our people to be able to be outstanding so that they can develop, grow, and progress in our organization. So when we hire somebody, our goal is to give them everything it takes to literally be the best that they can be and create the most value for the firm. The third, and aligned with that, is from the start to plan for professional development and career growth. We don't want people to stay in the same roles forever. We hire everybody with the goal that people will grow with us and will rise throughout our organization. And that doesn't just happen naturally. It happens when we're strategic about planning up front. So I'll talk a little bit about that. And then finally, the last area that we find very important is rather than just focus on training, and specifically training for discrete groups who have certain responsibilities, so your key HR people or your recruiters or your supervisors of people with disabilities or even the colleagues of people with disabilities, we take a very broad, holistic approach to how we educate our people, and we also do it in integrated ways. So training is not a one-time experience, but we find as many different venues and as many different opportunities as we can to get people information and messages that will get them more comfortable around abilities issues. And I'll give you some examples a little bit later of what I mean on that. But just to go to the first piece of that, that's hiring for ability. And what you see in this slide, and I'm on page 3, is a photo of three people. One of the individuals is using a walker. These are three EY people in New York. And what it shows is just people collaborating, and one of them happens to have a disability. We find that using images like this, and these are real EY people, we took the photos ourselves because we wanted to show realistically, as Rick does in the campaign that Jennifer just mentioned, that people with disabilities exist in our workplace just as a matter of course. And one of the ways that we can attract candidates with differing abilities to the firm is just by showing those images and integrating messages around how we welcome diverse abilities into how we describe ourselves as a firm, what we put on our websites, the messages that our leaders communicate internally and externally. And the information that we share. So last year, as we developed our new business strategy, we developed a new recruiting video. And that recruiting video was kind of featured stories of the six different EY people telling a little bit about their backgrounds, how they got to the firm, what they do, their journeys, if you will. We made sure that one of those individuals is an individual who uses a wheelchair. And we did that quite consciously because we don't believe in sending out messages saying we want people with disabilities. We believe in walking the talk, and we find that that's a very, very good way to signal both to our people internally, including our hiring managers, and to candidates that we're a place that really welcomes and is focused on enabling people with diverse abilities. I have on the slide the word checklist, and what that refers to is a few years ago we took a step back and we developed a checklist for job candidates on what they should look for in an employer to know if an employer is really disabilities friendly. And we make that available on our career site for any candidates to use for any purposes to check us against or any company against. We distribute that at college career centers to college students. We make it available as a part of all our tools and resources on our abilities page, on our public website. So we have a commitment, and we're signaling that commitment to the market to have really thought about what an organization needs to do to be abilities inclusive. Part of that is educating recruiters and educating hiring managers, not just with training, but in a variety of ways. We get on conference calls with recruiters at least quarterly to tell them what's new in this field, what we're developing internally, what our clients are doing, what new tools and resources we have. One of the things we found is that a great way to get recruiters really comfortable with people who have differing abilities is to give them as many experiences as possible. So one of the efforts that we're building out is an effort to have our recruiters volunteer to spend time at career fairs for candidates with disabilities, in mentoring programs, and in other ways to help develop the pipeline of candidates with diverse abilities, even if they're not people we're going to hire right now, even if they're not people who are qualified for our jobs, but just to give our recruiters the direct exposure so they understand that diverse abilities aren't frightening. People with disabilities don't have to be treated with kid gloves. This is not a difficult thing to do. And you can train people and you can get people comfortable by doing. And we found that that combination is a great way to really educate our people hands-on, as well as to show our commitment to the market. We take great pains to find ways to share success stories and to make role models visible to our people. We're doing a firm-wide webcast, for example, next month, October, 2 months from now, for Disabilities Awareness Month, featuring four of our people with differing abilities at different levels of the firm, including a partner, talking about their personal experiences and their stories. And we did a very large client event back in February for a couple of hundred of our most important clients, and our America's Managing Partner was on a panel talking about diversability. The entire event was on diversability to educate our clients on this issue. And we, of course, helped prepare our America's Managing Partner, who is our equivalent of a CEO. And the one piece that we didn't kind of prepare him for, that we left totally up to him, was to tell a personal story that connects to disabilities. And we were flabbergasted when the story he ended up telling was about his own father having disabilities. And the power of having our highest level executive talk about how his father had disabilities and how he didn't see those disabilities, nor did they in the family, and it was a surprise to him to learn that the outside world did, was incredibly powerful. It was very powerful for all our people who were there at the live event, for our clients, for our managing partner who really connected with this issue in a new way once he found himself talking about it to others that way. But then we put it on our website and have played it and shared it for our people internally as a way of showing that even our highest level executives really relate to this issue and have personal passion around it, and that is very compelling. It's also very important to offer support, not just after people are hired in the way of providing accommodations networks, but it's important to do that both before and after hire. So we are working out a new system to make it easier for our candidates to know how to request accommodations at any point in the job search process, from application through interview through after. So those are some of the hiring issues that we find are very important. I'm on slide 4 now, and another area that might seem self-evident, but as I mentioned before, is a little more complex than it might appear at first, is providing everything it takes to really do excellent work. Virtually all organizations provide accommodations. We prefer to use the term work adjustments because the word accommodation can connote during doing a favor, whereas an adjustment is just a simple practical process and something you do for any employee to help that person be more effective. But we find it's equally important to focus broadly on accessibility. And by accessibility, I mean making tools, resources, technology, communications, and the office environment usable and effective for people of all abilities. So that means everything from providing software to read the text on a screen, for people who are blind, to taking a look at your office environment and making it comfortable for people with differing physical situations. And that doesn't mean just being ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, compliant, but we went back a number of years ago and took a look at what was available to evaluate accessibility in the office, and we came up with a process that we call a wheel through and a tool to execute that process. And a wheel through is simply a team of people that go throughout our offices, and we have 6 or 8 people do that, representing different perspectives, real estate, administration, emergency management, people from our abilities networks, and we developed a checklist. And we look at everything from the basics of are your conference room tables high enough for a wheelchair to fit comfortably underneath? And are your thresholds flat and low enough so that a scooter or a wheelchair or a walker can get, you know, can pass by without a problem, to things that, aren't generally monitored, like where do you put the most frequently used supplies in your break room or in your mail room. We've developed a protocol where the coffee, the tea, the extra paper in the mail room we'll put on our lower shelves far forward, so that if somebody is in a chair or of short stature, they can reach it more comfortably. We've also developed a process where we've developed a kind of quick and easy way and require all our location managers to actually measure the force required to open our doors, because we found that whether it's external doors or internal doors, including the restroom doors, they're some of the worst culprits, they over time get out of joint and become harder to open, and may not, even though they were built to comply with the 5 pounds of pressure that the Americans with Disabilities Act requires, no more than 5 pounds of pressure to open a door, we find that they can get out of alignment and become harder to open. And we don't want to wait till our people have problems. We want to be proactive around this, and we want to demonstrate to the people running our offices and to everybody in our offices that this is a priority. So we require that all our doors actually get weighed at least once a year, so that we can make any correction in door weights. We also developed a project many years ago to assess safety in our workplaces, to make sure that all our emergency response plans take into consideration the needs of people working with differing abilities. And about a year and a half ago, we began a comprehensive focus on ergonomics that was an outgrowth of our focus on abilities, because we found over the last couple of years more and more disabilities arising from ergonomics in the office, things not being as comfortable and set up as well as they could be. So that's now something that we proactively educate our people on, have standards for, and really have a big effort around. A final area that we feel is really important is to bring our professionals together in groups to be able to share and connect with one another, and also to drive change and improvement in the organization. So Jennifer mentioned that we have a network of a few hundred people called Accessibilities. We have a sub-network of that called the Abilities Champions, who are our leaders of that network. And then we have two other groups of people that function more as support groups for people to meet needs having to do with disabilities outside the workplace. One is called the Parents Network, and it's for parents of children with differing abilities, so it focuses on larger family concerns. And another is called Caregiver Circle, and that's for EY people who act as caregivers for adults with disabilities. Could be aging parents, could be adult children, it might be other family members, spouses. But having four groups rather than just one allows us to have two groups that are focused outside the workplace and two groups, Accessibilities and the Champions Network, that are really tightly focused on the work environment and making our environment as enabling as it possibly can be. Another area, and I'm on page five, that we focus on that we feel is really critical, and some organizations probably aren't as proactive around, is really planning from the beginning for career growth and development. We're lucky at EY because talent development is a very strong part of our culture. Everybody in the firm, from our chairman on down, has somebody who plays the role of a career counselor. That's an official role, and it's somebody who is essentially a career coach. It might be your supervisor. It might not be your supervisor, but it's somebody one level up who's responsible from the time you get there for plotting your career growth and development and how you're going to kind of move through the organization. We also have a structure called counseling families that everybody is part of, where groups of people in the same business area get together to look at larger career development and larger professional concerns kind of as a group. So you have the benefit of one person who's a coach and then a larger group who is kind of your family to turn to for peer support. We also rate everybody in the firm on how they develop others. So each year as part of our scorecard, and actually our scorecards are twice a year, we are rated on how we give critical feedback to others, and we're asked what we do to develop our colleagues. So we're all on the line for taking an active role in helping the people we work with learn and grow. Everybody is asked to prepare formal learning plans on both classroom learning and how they'll learn through various kinds of experiences and assignments. So from the time that you come into the firm, you're asked to look forward and to be very planful. We also take a very teaming approach to this. So I mentioned that everybody has a career counselor who kind of focuses as a coach. Within accessibilities, we do the same. We take the role, those of us who lead our abilities efforts, of coaching and mentoring our people who are working with diverse abilities, including those who are well above our level, to be able to really bring many minds together on how we're going to deal with practical challenges and how we're going to make things work from a career perspective. And we try to do that proactively and strategically from the beginning, not when somebody has hit a roadblock. And by doing it early and revisiting it often as part of our career planning and performance management process, we can stay ahead of things so that people are less likely to run into roadblocks. We also do a lot of networking internally and externally with and for our people. So I just got a message this morning from an individual who was thanking us. We have taken part in a study on workplace supports for employees working with cancer, and as part of that made a toolkit available to managers of people with cancer, and somebody we didn't know, an employee who has cancer, wrote to say how important that was for her and how much she appreciated our participation in that. And she said, and by the way, she would love to talk to others in the firm who have cancer and are working through their diagnoses. And we're putting together a more formal mechanism. We currently do this informally for people to connect with others who are facing the same set of disabilities issues on a private basis so that they can mentor one another in exchange. That already happens all the time through our accessibilities network. And I'm very often linking people with people both inside and outside the firm, but we're now about to take the added step of setting up a formal process for people to kind of write in, tell us what they're looking for, and for us to make matches. The final piece of this that we feel is really important is to educate broadly and to do it in ways that aren't point in time, but really integrated into other things that, you do at your organization. So, yes, we do offer targeted training for recruiters, technology staff, guidance for meeting planners on how to plan accessible meetings and so forth. But we also make real efforts to use events, communications we have going on, leverage posters, create videos, use social media, to build awareness and to disseminate messages. So I mentioned that earlier we'll include role models on panels, not only on our webcast, but on other webcasts on more general topics. We'll tell stories that bring in diverse abilities. We'll find ways to include mentions of abilities in other messages and in the images, in our internal materials and our sites. We offer a wide variety of resources, all of which we've created internally, and we offer them to our people on an intranet site, and we've also put them out on EY.com, our public site, so that anyone, anywhere can get access to what we've developed and leverage it. All we ask, if you are leveraging our tools, is that you credit Ernst & Young, but we encourage people to use whatever we've created in any way they'll find useful, because our larger goal is, again, to have everybody get smarter and get more adept at this. Part of that commitment is to share with our clients and to share with the marketplace what we're learning, what we've developed, and then we take those instances of sharing, the dialogues that we've had with clients, what clients have learned from us, back into our firm and share those stories, because nothing is more compelling to our people than knowing our clients care about those same issues. So it not only helps in terms of educating the marketplace, but it helps us build awareness and build more support for our efforts internally, because it gives them external credibility. And I'm just going to share with you quickly on page 7 some of the tools that we've developed. On this slide, you see 7 different what we call quick reference guides, which are one-page, two-sided guides on different topics like etiquette and language and ways to be inclusive day-to-day. On slide 8, you'll see a screenshot of a video series that we put together. That one is called Accessibility Minutes. And they are true stories, actually things that happened in our office, and there are 24 of them. So it's a lot that are less than a minute. It's about 30 seconds of things that happened and then what you can learn from it. So it's meant as a training tool to teach our people how to be more inclusive day to day. You know, how this really plays out in day-to-day office experiences. And we created it as something really quick so that we could slot it in wherever we have space. So when we have a large meeting, say that the meeting is on tax issues and we have 500 of our professionals coming together to learn about tax issues, where there are breaks in the meeting, we might play our Accessibility Minutes series. So when people are going in and out of the room, they can quickly learn something that has to do with being more inclusive. We create handbooks on special topics. We create posters. We have a series of 4 or 5 of them, all on different topics that feature our people. They're always taken in our offices, and they're designed to build awareness of our efforts, and we put them up in high traffic locations in our offices. We show a couple of those posters on slide 10. I want to leave you with a couple of different things before we open it up for questions. First is that part of our business strategy is building a better working world. That is, not only doing the best job that we can do within Ernst & Young, but finding ways to reach outside our firm to share with the broader community. So we share our practices through the BLN, the U.S. Business Leadership Network, which Jennifer mentioned, a very large employer-to-employer disabilities organization. We're very involved with the Circle of Champions, the leading practices group convened by the Department of Labor. We frequently do webcasts for other disabilities organizations in addition to Respectability. We sponsor Career Opportunities for Students with Disabilities, which is an organization which helps college students with disabilities connect with employers who might want to hire them. We bring in Students for Disabilities Mentoring Day and work with organizations that bring in students with autism spectrum and other kinds of disorders. We're involved in, and I serve on the board of, a nonprofit that works on the transition from school to competitive employment for young people. We sponsor the disability-owned business certification program that the U.S. Business Leadership Network has put together, and are a sponsor of the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp for Veterans with Disabilities Families programs. And we make a real effort to participate in research whenever we can, participate in learning events. We were on the advisory board for the development of the Disability Equality Index, a new benchmarking tool developed by the American Association of People with Disabilities and the U.S. Business Leadership Network. And if I had to leave you with kind of four things in terms of lessons learned, I would want to leave you with these. What we've learned above all is that it's important to focus broadly on work adjustments, that is accommodations, and broad-based accessibility. Two is that it's not enough to just focus on retention. Plan for the beginning for people's career growth and success and be strategic about it. The third is that training isn't enough. To build a really inclusive environment, take time and find ways to educate as many people as possible in as many ways as you can. And finally, back to being holistic. Integrate inclusiveness into everything you do, into as many business processes as possible. And that's something that we continue to do at EY. We're continuing to find areas where we can do more to educate our people, develop tools and resources to do that, and then share those with you and whomever could benefit from it. So with that, love to open it up to questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, to ask a question, please press star one now.
As people are dialing star one to get their questions answered, Lori, that was a phenomenal presentation, really terrific, and you mentioned quite a lot of resources that are available on your website. So what do people need to do to find those resources on your website?
Thank you, Jennifer. That's an easy one. If you go to www.ey.com/abilities, the word abilities, you'll come to our abilities microsite, which is part of our overall EY website, where we discuss our efforts, and we have almost all our tools and resources posted and downloadable.
And those are free, and people can use them freely so long as they credit you. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Fabulous. Operator, we're ready for questions.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Our first question will come from Judy Lindenberger.
Hi, I'm a mom. I live in New Jersey, and I just want to thank you. I'm a human resources person, so everything you're saying is really resounding with me as really great practices, so thank you. My question is, what kinds of barriers do businesses say that there are? What things are they afraid of when hiring people with disabilities?
It's a great question, Judy. Thank you for asking it. It depends a lot on the size of the business. The barriers are pretty consistent, but they do fall into the smaller business and the larger organization camp. In a smaller business, there's often concern about the cost of accommodations and the challenges of developing and implementing accommodations. So it's there's concern that about a resource issue. The reality of course is that the vast majority of accommodations cost less than $100, and in fact most accommodations don't cost anything at all because they're simply adjustments in things like schedules and in work processes rather than special equipment. So the reality is that really shouldn't be a concern for even most smaller businesses, but they aren't yet all aware of that. It's something that the community has tried to message on, and we're trying to get the word out. At smaller and larger businesses, we find that the biggest issue is lack of understanding. And the term is often used, fear of people with disabilities. I would qualify that. I wouldn't say it's always fear. It's lack of experience and therefore lack of being able to envision how it can work. And that's why we feel it's so important to give recruiters as many hands-on experiences as we can with candidates with disabilities so that they're comfortable, and why it's very important to signal to everybody in an organization in as many ways as possible that differing abilities are just a natural part of human diversity. They exist within your organization, whether you know it or not, and it's part of the diversity that makes you strong and leads to better business solutions. So doing things like including images, having leaders tell their story, having visible role models, doing all those kinds of things is a way, even doing very dedicated things like having a webcast and having your CEO on the webcast is a way to signal that this is important, this is expected, and this is already part of your organization. So Again, lack of experience and concern about resources, I think, are the major issues.
Thanks. That sounds exactly right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Steve Allen.
Hi, Lori. Thanks so much. I'm involved with Voc Rehab in Colorado, and what I was hoping to get from you, one would be your contact information. Another would be if there's a contact in Colorado, because my job is doing outreach to businesses to develop those relationships. And the last thing was you mentioned experience. A lot of the people that we work with, they either had worked, then experienced a disability. Like I had a lady who was a procurement person for Corporate Express. She got leukemia, so it took her 5 years to recover. So now she has a 5-year job gap and not recent experience. So are there programs that we can do, like with Ernst & Young, that would help someone bridge that gap? Or do you know of programs like that?
I'm hesitating. I'm thinking for a minute, Steve. That's a really good question. In terms of contact information, that's easy. Anybody can feel free to contact me at lori.golden, you have my name in the webcast, at ey.com. If that's simple, just send me an email. In terms of programs, there are programs around specific kinds of disabilities. Asperger's comes to mind, as I'm sure you're aware. There's just a lot of growth and focus in that area right now. I don't know of specific reentry programs, if you will. At EY and most of the larger employers, that I network with, we are interested in people who have the skills and experiences to qualify them for our jobs. We don't necessarily, there are internship training programs for those kind of coming out of school, but there aren't training programs specifically for kind of re-entry easing back in. What I can tell you is that we need a starting point back to what we do at EY. The best way to figure out kind of what a fit might be is to go to our career pages. So look on our career site on ey.com. And find opportunities that somebody would be interested in and really qualified for. We need someone who's really qualified. And if you have somebody with differing abilities who you think fits for certain kinds of jobs where we have openings, feel free to reach out to me. And I'll get that individually looked at. And I can't promise you I'll get you an interview. I certainly can't promise I'll get someone a job. We hire the best talent available with or without disabilities. But what I can promise you, and we feel very committed to, is if somebody has disabilities and has taken the time to come to us in this fashion, we'll provide critical feedback. I'll make sure that I have somebody to take a look and provide some feedback to better coach the person to help them in their job search, whether we're the right place or not. So I can promise you that, that's something I'd be happy to do, and I'd be happy to do for anyone, but it has to start with the right kind of fit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key, followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone. Our next question will come from Elsa Diaz-Bautista.
Hello. I am with Alianza Latina, and we serve, we work and promote the independence of people with diverse abilities in the state of Wisconsin, specifically in the city of Milwaukee. First of all, thank you for all the efforts that you are doing to change the paradigm for the workplace in the United States. It's very commendable, so thank you for that. Okay, my question is related to more challenging or severe disabilities, specifically intellectual disabilities or developmental disabilities. Do you have experience, successful stories that you can share with us today?
Excellent question and a challenging one for our environment, because being a knowledge firm where virtually all our people work as professionals and where the educational requirements are very high, even for administrative kinds of jobs, it's not an easy fit. I can share with you, Elsa, and thank you for your comments. And by the way, I'm from Milwaukee, so shout out to you. We have had a few programs, and one is ongoing now, where we have worked with organizations that place individuals with developmental disabilities in the right kind of jobs. We have had people in one of our offices, we had several people for many years who came from the local ARC working in one of our mail rooms. And that was a very successful effort that was in place. So those two individuals, I believe, worked in that office for 11 years. We have an individual now that has come through a similar organization in our Dallas Shared Services Center, who is working with us, and a job was actually constructed to be able to meet his needs. We actually customized it. But as you can imagine, it takes a lot of work to customize a job, and in an organization like ours, we don't have many openings where we have that lever, where we even have the opportunity to create a job. So we've had some successes. And where we have openings, we're very open to discussing doing that, but quite frankly, our administrative jobs, our mailroom jobs, and other support kinds of jobs don't turn over very much. And we don't have those openings often enough to have a pipeline where we can actually sit down and create five or six at a time. So it's a little bit challenging. It has been successful. We look to do other things. We have individuals come in for mentoring days, and we find kind of other ways to give back. But we haven't employed as many individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities as ideally we'd like.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now.
So if I can add on to this, this is Jennifer. The question about developmental disabilities and that being sort of outside of the core work of what EY is doing, next week, going back to Lori's hometown of Milwaukee, we have the governor of Wisconsin doing a conference call with us. So Governor Walker on September 4th, doing a conference call, and I encourage everyone on this call to also sign up for that call, because he's dealing with quite a broad range as he's dealing with it, as he's just made Wisconsin an employment first state for people with disabilities. So I encourage you to sign up for that. Operator, do we have any more calls? We have time for only one more.
Yes, ma'am, we do have another question from Steve Allen.
One other follow-up. You mentioned Asperger's. I've been working with the founder of company out of Denmark called Specialisterna that's now in 12 countries and is growing in the U.S. I'm sending you an email. I'd love to connect with you and talk about that if you, just because you mentioned it in particular. Are you familiar with?
Happy to do that. I'm quite aware of them, and I believe that they're attending the U.S. Business Leadership Network Conference next month as well. But yeah, absolutely happy to connect. We work with SAP, who is one of their main clients. So,
right. So let me just take the time to thank everybody who was on this call, who took the time to listen to what Lori had to say. I want to especially thank Lori Golden from EY and indeed the entire EY team. We're very proud at Respectability that there are keynotes for not only this call, but also for our new online campaign, which is the hashtag RespectTheAbility campaign. I invite everyone on this call to go out to our website to see the entire series of stories on different kinds of jobs where people with disabilities are adding value to their workplace. The key one that we're starting off on is with EY. So I invite you to please go to our website. It's respectabilityusa.org. And on the homepage, there's a link about the campaign. And again, I'm really thrilled that we were able to work with the entire EY team. Also want to thank Card Communications for their help in helping facilitate this project. And of course, Positive Exposure for the wonderful photography that Rick did there and for the real creative flair that he brought to bringing real images to this situation where we're trying to really dramatically change attitudes. Lori, you've been a real trailblazer throughout all of your work on these issues. We thank you very much for sharing your guidance, your wisdom, your experience with us on this call today. I look forward to seeing you at the USBLM conference. I encourage other people to also sign up, and I hope that everybody on this call will join us for Governor Walker on September 4th. Lori Golden, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Operator, that concludes our call.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect at this time.